baby, let's recline. In the dance, plug it in and we begin. Crowd up in the center, they watch me the rhythm. Watch the way we drop it in a mix time.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's CAGcast episode number 208. I am TBD here in very hot Tokyo. And of course, there is Wombat in the Piqua.
Hola.
And there is Shipwreck in the Cincinnatiqua.
It's the Natty.
The Natty Dreads.
Natty Bobo.
Yes, and that is our special guest today, Esteban Salazar.
Esteban Salazar.
Right.
You kind of got it wrong.
Well, of course, I'm not Mexican.
Hi, everybody. This is Lone Esteban Salazar, producer at Grasshopper Manufacture and longtime resident of Tokyo.
Right. The fine purveyors of lawn care equipment.
Yeah, that's right. Lawn care, weed whackers.
Yeah, it's great. So anyway, Esteban's a friend of mine, and he said it was his lifelong dream to come. Well, not his lifelong dream, but some sort of dream to come on the CAGcast.
Yeah, yeah. As long as the CAGcast has been running, I've been wanting to come on, but Cheapy has denied me until now. So if I tear up during the podcast, it's only because I'm so happy.
Excellent. So here we are together at last, and I have some news for everybody. I won the Saints Row charity auction.
Oh, nice. Congratulations. I know you really wanted to win that, actually.
Right. It just ended right before the show, and yeah, I won. So I'm going to be have a very small, very, very small voice role in the Saints Row 3 game. It's like one of the pedestrians that you run over, I guess, you know, and the guy curses at you.
Nice.
Your IMDb page is going to be ever expanding now. It just doubled.
It actually won't, because you have to pay to be able to edit that. And I did like the 1 month free trial, and then I, you know, canceled it. So everything disappears after you edit it.
Could I do a 1 month free trial and then update your page?
It disappears after the trial ends.
Oh, that's weird.
Well, of course they want you to pay.
I guess so. So if you update it and then you stop paying, they take away the updates you made.
Exactly.
What a scam. I don't think...
So like Keanu Reeves is like paying a monthly fee or what?
I doubt that.
Yeah, pretty much. That's it. So anyway, yeah. So it was $1,700 or something like that. And I got the... it goes to charity. It's for some
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a charity auction. It's too sad to even tell you what happened, so I don't want to bum everybody out. But the good news is that maybe I'll be able to get to say big ass chains in the next.
Yeah, I read all about it, and it's definitely a good cause. So good job.
Good job, GP.
Yay, I win. Everybody wins.
Who did you outbid? Do you know?
I don't know.
John Stamos?
I think John Stamos was up for that. Anyway, so yeah, we got a big show, I think. I don't know. We have a lot of stuff to talk about. But you know what? Let's start a little bit and let's just ask Esteban what he does for a living. Like, so you're a producer.
That's right. I'm a video game producer. You probably want to know what that means, right?
Right. You produce something.
I produce lots of sweat and pee from my body.
Right.
That's what I do for a living. A video game producer is more on the project management side of things. We're the guys who handle all the logistics of making the game. So when the company comes to us or an external party comes and says, hey, we want to make a game, then we're the ones that work out all the scheduling and make sure that it stays within the budget and everything. Not a lot of creative stuff, unfortunately.
So you don't say like, hey, this gun is too powerful. You say, hey, you got to work late.
Yeah, I say, you know, John, I know your wife's having the baby tonight, but if we don't get Saints Row 4 done by this weekend, you're going to lose your job.
I see. Okay. Do you aspire to be more on the creative side?
I do, yeah. I'm very much interested in creating the games, and it really depends on what company you're at. The one I'm at, it's mostly logistics, unfortunately. But, you know, Grasshopper is the kind of place where you can throw out ideas and people listen. So I could say something.
Could we maybe get a list of titles you've worked on? That way our listeners not familiar with Grasshopper get up to speed here.
Well, I actually just started there about 8 weeks
Great.
Ago.
Great, we're up to speed. Everybody's up to speed.
Yeah, everyone's on the same page. Before that, I worked at a company called Success, where I was a localization producer. I worked on Raiden Fighters Aces for the Xbox 360.
That is a great game.
Shipwreck and I both own that game.
Oh, awesome. Do you guys like it?
We love that
Everybody
game.
Everybody should own that game. Oh, yeah, it's
good.
Great.
Good. I'm glad. I was the localization producer. I was kind of behind.
You really got those lasers localized into English very well.
Yeah, well, we had to change it, you know, because in Japanese, they were kind of like a pa-pa. And I was like, no. For North America, it needs to be more like a pew-pew.
Is that true?
No.
Oh. No.
I thought it was true.
Even I knew that. That happens to be a great game. If you've never played it, people listening, both Shipwreck and I, we both highly recommend it. If you're into a good shmup, that game had the options on it. You could spend all day just tweaking the options. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was the guy that worked on it with me, the guy who instigated the Japan version, huge fan of the series, and he really insisted on all the different tweakings and settings, and it's fan service. The game is for the fans, so I'm glad you guys like it.
Yeah, I remember those guys when they talked about the game. They both, Shipwreck gave it a very good review, I remember. It was one of your early CAG reviews.
Yeah, it was. No, I liked it a lot. It's cheap, too. I think it came out at $20.
Yeah, $20.
So, well, we got some more questions for Esteban later in the show with the CAG bag. So I think, I don't know, you guys have anything to talk about before we move on to some show feedback from last week?
I probably would have if you were on time, but no, let's go on to the last week's show.
Okay. Why don't you take it away?
I'd be happy to. I didn't include all the comments that talked about how I was right and you were wrong last week because I figured that would just be smug.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Thanks for not mentioning that.
Because, right, you're talking about the GameStop GameStop buying Kongregate and not buying Steam, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, because GameStop doesn't want more customers.
No, they don't.
Why would they?
Right.
Exactly.
So, okay, so, well, thank you for not bringing that up.
No, it's, you know, it's what I do. I'm classy.
Okay, so what else we got?
Well, that's IHIH says, just listen to Shipwreck saying he played Clash of the Titans for 14 hours and he won't touch StarCraft 2. I'm shackfooing insulted.
Shipwreck, what's up with that?
What can you do?
Shipwreck, I'll tell you. I'll explain it to you right now, actually. Shipwreck, okay. Shipwreck is like, he's a really good guy. And if you're a game company and you send him a game for review, he will play it. That's just the way he is. And he will, and not only will he play it, he'll write the review. So he feels like that he has to do it.
A sense of responsibility that comes with his title.
There's some games I don't get reviews out for.
But very few.
Very few, yeah. It really, StarCraft 2, I mean, it's a great game, I'm sure of that. It's just I don't play real-time strategy games, and I don't really play PC games all that much.
That's the button.
I don't have a PC. I mean, I could play it on my wife's iMac, I guess.
It works fine. If your wife's iMac is newer than mine, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah, it's a year or two old. I'm not sure.
You have it, Esteban?
I'm waiting for it to arrive, actually. It's on a boat somewhere.
You didn't buy the digital version?
No, I bought the collector's version.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Yeah, I threw down the $100 so I could get the art book and everything else.
Jesus Christ. Wow. All right, I bought the digital version. I like it. It's a lot of fun. I won't play online unless I know you personally because I don't want to lose badly in 2 seconds.
Did you play more of it this week, Cheapy?
Yeah, I did. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fun.
I was just curious if you stuck with it or not.
Yeah, the campaign is actually pretty engaging. They give you a lot of interesting things to do. And there's like a challenge mode where that puts you in like different scenarios and, you know, tries to teach you the game like through those two different parts. I don't know. I like it. It's fun. But
should I get it?
You should get it. Why not?
We'll play. Do you have nothing else to play?
He's got it. I know. He must have a lot of free time.
If you're not into RTS, I mean, don't force yourself. Just watch the highlights on YouTube. You know, watch the cutscenes, and I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, it might be a little much, but hey, maybe you'll get into RTS. Maybe this is your entry.
No. I played some of the original StarCraft way back in the day. I've played some Halo Wars recently, and some Command and Conquer recently, and I get into them to a certain point, and then I just hit a wall of it not being worth it to me. Like, I get to the point where all of a sudden I can't just play the tutorial and then I'm done.
It's a lot of learning. You got to study. You got to study the tech trees. right, what else we got?
You lost me already.
What else we got, Wombat?
We got I like pop cans, who said, why was there no CagCast last week just because Wombat could not be on? Not to say Wombat sucks, but what does he need to be in every CagCast? Would it be hard to find a quest or just have TPD and Shipwreck do one by themselves?
What's a quest? I think he means guest, right?
I think he means guest, yeah. All right.
I don't know. I look for any excuse to not do the show. Wombat says like he's got a cold. I'm like, oh, no show.
Yeah, it's not really me. I have no problem with you guys doing a show without me. I just know that if I say I can't do it, you jump at the chance to not do it. So
exactly. Uh-huh. And now you're back and we have a guest. A quest, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
A quest for a guest. Shinakuma 21. I totally disagree. Castlevania HD is a fun game, especially when you're playing with six friends on the mic. In the beginning, it's hard to get into because you'll start with nothing, but once you start looting for the goods with your friends, it gets better. I have a feeling the reason Wombat and Shipwreck didn't like it is because they didn't get free review code for it. If you follow them on Twitter, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Whoa, that's some trash talking right there.
That was some trash talking and completely inaccurate because we both got free codes for the game.
Wow, and you didn't like it.
Nah, that game's bad.
Shipwreck hates it. I don't hate it as much as I did last week. I had a lot of fun playing with Shipwreck and Desert Eagle and Keg Dingleberry.
You would have had just as much fun rolling around in shit with us, though.
Probably, yes.
Like it's not a matter of yeah.
It wasn't the game's fault, so to speak, that I had a good time playing the game. It was definitely the company. So, yeah, I guess, should, yeah.
Too bad that's not an actual retail release, because they could have put Shipwreck's quote on the back of the box. It's as much fun as rolling around in shit.
With friends.
Well,
yeah,
it's about the same solo, I guess, too, then. Yeah. Like, it's clearly more fun with friends.
I tried the demo, and it really seems like... You know, first of all, I've talked to people who really like the game. And that's why they got me to try it, because from your guys' discussion, I had no interest. But other people, my Tracking moderator on CAG, told me to try it. It really seems like they just put the least amount of effort possible into making the game. Like, even you look at the graphics, and I mean, really? Like, that's the best they could come up with?
The multiplayer interface is horrible. Like, you can't get onto a team for some reason. It just boots you straight back out to the main menu, and you got to go all the way back through to try to find. And then, you know, you fail again. Back at the main menu.
Oh, after you game over?
No. You know, when you can't join a party for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
Has that happened to you guys?
Maybe once.
Oh,
but
just setting up a party in general is a pain. Not being able to invite people into a game after you make your party is kind of annoying. I think that this is a very good multiplayer mode as part of a single player experience that doesn't exist.
Yeah, I agree. I bought it on day one because I'm a huge Castlevania fan, and I feel like I have to wring $15 of enjoyment out of it because I'm not really enjoying it. Like the multiplayer games I've joined, like I've not known where to go. So all the guys that are super powered up from beating the game already just go through and slaughter everything in the castle. I'm dead
last.
Yeah,
you just wander around behind them, and there's not even any enemies to kill or anything to do.
Yeah, I'm not really enjoying it.
I think it could have been a good game. All they had to do is make it a randomly generated castle each time, maybe. Like, give me some reason to play through these same levels over and over.
I'm
going to
go with you know, varying difficulty based upon number of players. So when you're playing alone, it would have, you know, 1/6 the amount of enemies that it does when you play with six people, in theory.
Sure, there should have been some kind of scaling there, but I think it just... I don't know. It's just not worth going through over and over again. There's a pretty simple metric, though, I think, to whether or not you like it.
And what's that?
And if you are really into Japanese-developed games, like, you don't care what they are.
You mean games like Killer 7?
Yeah.
I mean, so like, so you're saying if you're a huge nerd, you'll like it.
I'm a huge nerd. No More it's Heroes like, and Killer 7.
If your name is Shinakuma... You were probably going to like this game, right. Like that. That's the type of game this is.
If you're a weeaboo, is that what you're saying? If you're a weeaboo, you'll totally be into this game.
Do you guys know?
If you're the kind of guy who thinks that American girls aren't into you because Japanese girls are just nicer, then you're gonna like this game.
That is the person.
What are you trying to? What are you trying to say, Wombat? That hits a little too close to home, I think.
Yeah, to two people on this show.
Oh,
what do you mean, me? Oh, well, not really. I took care of business in America.
I know.
And now
I took care of business about. Anyway, next question.
Yes.
too much coolness. His comment was, "How old is Wombat? Because he sounds like a happy-go-lucky kid." This is what's funny about this is today I had my my yearly physical at the doctor.
Oh wow! Did he grab your balls?
He did not, but he does do like 300 tests. You know, EKG, chest X-ray, blood.
Finger
taking.
In the ass? No finger in the ass?
No finger in the ass.
Well, then you can't be that old,
right?
And he looks at me and he goes, "You're in perfect health for a 37-year-old."
But you're not 37.
I'm not. 37.
I can look at you and say, "No, you're not."
But he's not 37. How old are you?
I'm 33.
Right.
Oh. That's only 4 years, though.
Wait, let me ask you this question. Have you ever got the finger up the ass from your doctor?
I have. From your doctor, right. Wombat. That's what he's asking. Right.
I have had the doctor finger.
Yeah, it's not a lot of fun.
No,
I only had it done once, and seriously, like, my asshole hurt for like a week afterwards.
Really?
He didn't, I don't know, either he had really fat fingers or he...
He didn't lube up?
He lubed, I guess he did, but I don't know. He needs to work the rim a little bit first before he just goes right in.
He needs to tease it, you know, get it excited.
He just jammed it right in there. I'm like, whoa, what are you using the whole fist there, Doc? Moon River! Thank you. All right. What movie is that from, Wombat?
Isn't that from, was it Fletch?
Yes. If you didn't get that, I would have had to come over there and kick you in the nuts.
Like, isn't that Fletch? Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Okay, so you answer the question. You're 33.
I am 33 years old. I'm not 37, and I'm not, well, I guess I'm still a happy-go-lucky kid at heart.
You know who I think you sound a lot like, Wombat, is the guy who does the voice acting for the Monkey Island games? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Like the, what's his name? The main character?
Yeah, the main guy. Guybrush Threepwood. Yeah.
Threepwood, yes.
I'm playing the game and I'm like, oh my God, it's Wombat.
I'll take that as a compliment. I actually like Monkey Island, so yeah.
Yeah, it's great voice acting. You should just tell people you do it.
Maybe you'll get more fingers in your ass that way.
Isn't that what we all want deep down?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I'm not willing to rule it out. I just know I don't want it from Dr. Sharky. That's all. That was the guy's name, Dr. Sharky. Violated me.
Dominic Armato, that's the guy.
The voice actor?
Yep.
All right, Ship, why don't you lead us through this week's new releases?
All right. It is Madden week. So I reviewed that game. That's a very good version of Madden.
Is it Madden 2011? 2010?
Madden 11. They've dropped the 2000 part of it.
Oh, okay, so it's hip with the kids now.
Yes, yes. No apostrophe or anything. It's
they used up X 11. Last year, so maybe not.
No, they were 10 last year. But they really improved the blocking schemes and the running game. And we talked last week about the game flow, how that speeds up the game and makes it so you don't have to coach and play at the same time. You can just kind of play football. So I really like it.
There was a killer article on, I think it was Wired, maybe, about the history of Madden just last week. Did you guys catch that?
I read the article. Was it the one on ESPN?
ESPN?
Yeah.
There was an ESPN one that was really long and really good also. About sitting on a train with John Madden and the whole...
Yeah, exactly. And
I read that. It was very good.
He kind of just felt sorry for the guys making it, and it's like, yeah, here, let's make a game.
Do you know how much money John Madden has made from the football series? I read a post yesterday. You want to guess? Anyone want to guess?
$100 million.
They said it was, well, it could be. They said it was more than 50, so.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad at all.
It is coming out in Japan, I saw. It was listed on Amazon Japan. It's like $45, and I think they don't localize it. I think they localize the manual, and that's it.
That's it, yeah. The whole game is in English, because they figure that anyone who's into football that much already speaks English.
Because they don't show it. Well, they do show on TV a little bit.
Football?
Yeah, yeah.
American football?
Yeah.
I have not seen
it. You've never seen it? They show it at night. They show it like Tuesday night or something.
Although I did date a cheerleader. who cheered for Japanese football team.
Really?
Yeah.
Esteban is like the ultimate Mac Daddy. Like,
no.
He goes, if you, the most fun thing you can do is you hang out with him during Tokyo Game Show.
No.
And he walks around to all the models and he hits on all the models.
You've actually badmouthed me on the show about that. You've said that it's uncomfortable.
Did?
Yeah. I like how you're trying to skew it now that
I not like it? Maybe in reality it's more glamorous than it. It's not as glamorous as it seems. I don't know. It is fun though. The girls are hot.
It's because American girls aren't into me because Japanese girls are so nice.
They're not nice, right?
Right.
Nerd.
Yeah.
Right. Awesome. What else we got?
So that's Madden.
Yep.
We also have. I think we've all. Well, I know the Wombat and Cheapy and I have played a little bit of Scott Pilgrim. I'm not sure if Esteban has yet or not.
I have not. No, I heard Cheapy's tweet about him it crashing and losing all his game progress.
Well, it wasn't that. It was only like 20-30 minutes. It's, the first level's really long, and I was almost at the end of the first level, and the game just froze. And you lose, not only do you lose your place in the game, I didn't really care about losing my place in the game, but I lost, you know, you level up in that game and you get experience, and I lost all the experience. It wasn't a big deal. I went back and I finished, and I played the first level. I like it. It's fun. I think it's pretty fun.
I died on the first boss. And then I had to start the first level over again. And I don't know. It's just that type of game isn't enough fun for me to want to play the first level a second time.
Yeah, it needs online play. I mean, to make a game like that, it's basically like if you made Castle Crashers and had no online play in it.
You mean like when that game was released?
It had some. I was able to play a little bit.
Now, do you need...
I really like it. I think they did a good job of like... I've read the first two... comics that it's based off of, so I have a little bit of like backstory, and I understand some of the in jokes and everything that it has, and it does a good job of bringing those across. But I also like just the little game mechanics, like you can get the enemies trapped over to the side of the screen and just keep on like juggling like a trash can or something and just keep on punching the trash can, and it hits off them and pops back up into the air, and you hit it back at them again. It's just got a bunch of fun little brawling mechanics in there.
I can appreciate what the game does. It's just not the kind of game I enjoy.
Gotcha. Do you need to be a fan of the source material to enjoy the game?
No, it's just a straight up brawler.
It's like River City Ransom. It's like love letter to River City Ransom.
Yeah, exactly. If you like River City Ransom, Bad Dude, Streets of Rage, if those
Double
are the
Dragon.
Kind of game. Yes, yeah. Double Dragon.
It's nice. It looks good. It's $10. I don't know.
If you think every game released after 1992 is kind of crappy, then this game is for you.
Huh. Yeah, I'll try it out then.
It's only $10. It's not ridiculously, you know, it's not overpriced like, you know, games on another console.
like Castlevania HD, for example?
Yeah, exactly. So,
weird thing is, these games have a lot of stuff in common, I think, between Castlevania and Scott Pilgrim. I just think Scott Pilgrim does it a lot better. Like, they're both about going through and playing the same levels repeatedly to level up and get your character better. But it just does it, like, the pacing is better, you level up faster, it's just more enjoyable than what Castlevania is.
All right.
I don't know. Yeah. And then also for Xbox Live Arcade, the Summer of Arcade title this week is Monday Night Combat.
Which I started.
I think the three of us have played a little bit of that as well.
Okay, yeah, I started it last night. You got it today.
I did. GP, I played maybe about 45 minutes of it or so today.
Okay, did you play online?
No, I wanted to play online. There's this. So the game basically is The Grid, the Midway arcade game, mixed with a little bit of tower defense. And there's a single player mode that is also, you can play with friends and co-op and fight these waves of bots that come at you. So I was playing that, and it's got a weird menu structure to where if you select a challenge and then you complete that challenge, it boots you back out to the select a challenge menu. But there's no way to back into the main menu.
Yeah, I noticed that. It's weird.
Online?
It's kind of weird how it does that. I don't know how.
Yeah. I was talking to Desert Eagle from Tech Gaming, and he said that to get back to the main menu, you have to start another challenge and then before that challenge actually starts, you hit the back button to go back to the main menu.
What the hell?
It's really weird.
I don't know. I just turned it off when I couldn't get back to the main menu. I don't know. I've played, like I said, about 45 minutes, about three or four waves, or three or four missions. It seems okay to me.
You haven't played the main, like, two-team mode online?
I haven't played the crossfire mode.
No, that's like the main part of the game, I think, no?
I think so. I think it's that, and it's the, you know, there is that single. I played yesterday. I played, you know, the tutorial, and then I did the exhibition, which is a 10-wave kind of like that real-time strategy game portion. And I wanted to play Crossfire, but there was no one online because I was playing it yesterday.
I played the Crossfire mode. I mean, I played one full match of it. It's fun. Like, it's an interesting idea. Like, they do a good job of making it like a sport, like a futuristic sport. You know, and it's like it's sort of an interesting take on like base defense, and you know, you have bots that you can unleash on the other team, and you build turrets, and you also there's different classes like Team Fortress, and it seems like a really involved game for a, you know, for a downloadable Xbox Live Arcade game. It's pretty cool.
This is the first one that I think might be worth $15 out of the.
There's a lot going on there. I definitely recommend you get the trial, because you can do a lot with the trial. It's not some bullshit trial where you can.
I was gonna say, I think with a demo for this game, you would kind of need to really show, because there's a lot going on. There's a lot of customization. If you could actually build a custom class if you earn enough in-game dollars, and there's a lot going on, and I really like the real-time strategy elements. I think it adds a lot to the game. It's great for guys like me who suck at killing other people, where I could be. Exactly. I'm the guy who builds turrets. That's what I do. I make sure the turrets are working, which in some rounds could be just as important as the guy who's running up to kill everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I would consider buying it if I had people to play with. It's, you know, if you have like, it's a six on six is the crossfire mode.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems pretty well done.
Well, we both
have people to play with. We both have it.
All right.
I'll buy it. You want to play it? I'll pick it up.
Sure.
So there you go. Now you have three people to play with at least.
No, that's four people on the team. I want to be the black guy, though.
Whoa, Metacritic. Sorry. We did their whole website, by the way.
No, I call the black guy. He's.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
That's all right. You were here first.
Yes, exactly.
I just want to see what kind of reviews it's been getting. Well, the Metacritic is like a whole new site now, by the way.
Yeah, and I don't think there are any reviews for it on there yet.
There are. It's got got an 8 from IGN and a 4.5 stars in Joystick, I think.
Yeah, out of 5.
An 8 from IGN is kind of like a, you know, that's like a safe review for IGN, right? They're like, oh, we like these guys, and we don't want to lose any money from them, so we'll just give them an 8.
Oh, that's controversial.
Is it?
I don't know. All right. What else, anything else this week?
No, that's it for this week. It's Madden week.
All right, well, let's move on to some shopping and CAG news. I mean, this was, I thought it was, like, pretty interesting, and I wanted to talk about it. So, apparently, NHL 11 has, this is more like shopping news than a deal, obviously. They will sell you 156 different power-ups so that you can basically add stats on to your creative player. So, and you have to pay, like, I guess the cheapest one is $1. You get like for one skill point is $1, and I don't know. You can buy up to 5 skill points for, and they have it in like each category. So it's like you can buy like, you know, acceleration for your forwards or goalie stick side high. I mean, it's really like insane. And the sort of the scary thing is, so now the publisher has a financial incentive to make it difficult for you to actually level up your guy just by playing the game. Like, the more difficult they make it, the more chance that you'll pay money to do it.
They do the same type of thing with Madden.
It's pretty scary.
Like, they have the Madden coins in there now. And for the Ultimate Team mode, the way you get your players is you buy packs of cards. And then whoever you get out of that pack of card, you can add to your team. But they also have auctions, and they have like weekly rare cards that are limited, and getting the like a significant amount of coins takes several games of playing each week. Like, I think for just like the crappiest pack of cards, which is all like guys you've never heard of, I think that was 1,000 coins, and it would take me 2 to 3 games to get enough.
What do you do with the cards?
That's how you field your team.
Oh,
it's like a fantasy team.
I see.
Whatever cards you get, then you put them on your team. But the way they have the packs set up is you have bronze level players, you have silver level players, you have gold level players, then you have platinum level players, and then you have super rare cards.
So they don't make it like you're buying an actual pack of cards where like, you know,
you're getting shit
like, in the beginning.
Yeah. So it's like, I think it's like 1,000 for a pack of crappy cards, like 3,000 for the bronze, and I want to say like either 5,000 or 6,000 for the gold, I think.
It's pretty lame. Wouldn't it be more fun to do it like random? I mean, this is just a money grab, basically.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was to the point, like, if I really was interested in that mode, it would be tempting to just say, okay, give me the 20,000 Madden coins for $6 or whatever it is.
This reminds me of, like, Facebook games, you know?
Farm.
Yeah, incentivizing paying money to the players.
Those games are free.
That's true. Yeah, they are free to begin with. But I don't like this trend. As someone who works in the game industry, I'll do my best to stand against this. I promise you.
I salute you.
And we all know.
I also like the fact that NHL 11 doesn't come out for another month.
Yeah,
and all this stuff is already up.
So you can buy the stats. They won't do anything for
you.
You
can pre-order, pre-download.
Hey, cheapy man, I bought all my stats last night.
I'm ready to go. I preloaded my goalie high side +5, high stick side.
I can tell you though that the profit ratio on this stuff is insane. I mean, it probably costs like an extra 2 cents for them to make each of these stat things. I mean, that's just a programmer, you know, adding some values to the game. There's no content that they need to make. There's no, you know, art or anything that needs to be made. So,
and they keep like 70% of the price, right?
Right.
You know, Microsoft or Sony gets the other 30%. I mean, that's, you know, we know why they do it. It's just you don't have to like it.
Right. I don't like it.
You don't like it. All right. We also, on the front page of CAG, you can check out a whole rundown of all the Madden deals that end on Saturday, you know, from the Sunday ads and stuff. So if you are interested in Madden and you didn't buy it yet, definitely want to check that out. And still, our iTunes integration is underway. Hopefully that'll be ready soon on CAG, so you can do like price tracking on apps. So that's exciting. And yeah. So how about some coupon codes from our friends at GoDaddy.com for all your web hosting and domain registration needs. Coupon code CAG10 gets you 10% off any order. Coupon code CAG5OFF30 gets you $5 off a $30 order. And coupon code CAGDOMAIN gets you $7.49 domain registrations at GoDaddy.com.
Wow.
Do you own any domain names, Esteban?
Yes, but I can't talk about them on a family-friendly show.
Really? You own some sort of porn?
I do own some S&M domains.
Are you serious?
No, man.
No.
That's the second time that you thought he was serious.
He looks really serious when he's saying these things. I mean, I used to own smellyvagina.com. I'm not even kidding.
I bet you did.
I'm 100% serious. If you can look that up somehow, you'll see that I own that site the domain.
Were you drunk when you bought it or something?
I was drunk, yes. I said, hey, there's people out here who like Smelly Vagina. They're going to pay to come to SmellyVagina.com. I didn't actually ever build a site around
it. How would you smell a vagina on the internet?
Well, I was going to innovate.
Well, what you could do is you could open the site up, and then a month before it comes out, you could charge people like get +5 smell factor for your vagina, only 99 points.
Right, +5 musk, 80 vagina points. Yeah, vagina points. I wonder if maybe smellyvagina.com is available.
Yeah,
again.
Man. Copyright that shit right now.
Vagina points? All right. Where are we now? Oh, let's move on to some multi-platforming, Wombat's news and stuff. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's talk about some of the games that we've been playing. Well, we talked about Scott Pilgrim. Did you guys check out the Mafia 2 demo that came out?
I downloaded it, but I played Monday Night Combat instead.
Ship?
I am in that same boat.
I played through it and I really liked it. I checked it out at E3 and I don't know, it was just, I wasn't feeling it that much. And I think it's the same demo, to be honest with you, but the environment is a lot better sitting on my couch and playing it and being able to like hear everything. I don't know. I think it's really well done. It really left me wanting more. Like the demo was over and I was like, shit, am I going to go play through this demo again? But I did order the game. It worked. I mean,
you play the first game?
I played some of it on the PC, I believe. Yeah.
Okay. I played through it. Oddly enough, I did play it on the PC and I played through it on the Xbox. So I played through it two times. And for some reason, I just can't get... I need to play this demo because I just can't get excited about the Mafia franchise at the moment.
Check out the demo. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. It's pretty cool. Like the character models are really big. So when you're in combat and stuff, you know, it's at the heart of it. It's like GTA, but in the, I guess, the 50s.
How's the driving?
That driving was a big issue fine. In the first one. Driving okay. seemed okay. You can turn off, there's something called a speed limiter. So it makes it a little bit easier to drive. Like if you turn the speed limiter on, it'd be really hard for you to crash because you'll never, even if you floor it, you're only going to go at a certain speed.
Wait, no, they had that in the first game as well.
Oh, okay.
And that was to prevent you from going over the speed limit because cops would.
Oh, is that what that is? Okay. I didn't know. They didn't explain it.
Okay, so that must be back. Like, yeah, the cops would actually, if you broke enough street laws or whatever, they would come after you.
Well, it seems really cool. Like the voice acting is really good, and it's made by a Czech development studio, which is sort of weird. But I don't know. It seems I like the demo, and it's coming out this month, and I pre-ordered mine from Amazon Japan.
Yeah, and I'll give a shout out to our friends at Gamertag Radio. Who are actually hosting the launch party for Mafia 2. And it's an event that I believe is open to everybody, and they're doing one in New York.
Are you going?
I might. It's at the 92nd Y, which isn't too far away, actually, from...
You're kidding.
From where I am. And no, in Tribeca. And they're also
not
doing...
The 90s,
oh, no, not the 92nd not one on 92nd. No, not the 92nd Street one. And,
I didn't know they were Jewish.
Yes, and they're also doing one in Miami, and it's could be a good time. So you can check that out on gamertagradio.com for more details. I'm not going to look at all
Definitely
now,
play the demo, though. It's short, and it left me wanting more. So mission accomplished.
There you go.
Shipwreck, you tried out Machinarium. It's on sale for $5 right now for the PC and Mac.
Yeah, I think that sale ends Thursday this week. But, yeah, it's on sale for $5. It's a really good point-and-click adventure. It's got a very nice art style to it, and the humor reminds me a lot of the kind of innocent robot humor, like from something like WALL-E, that type of thing. Yeah, for $5, it's definitely worth it. I think I played for about 2 hours, and it doesn't seem like I'm anywhere close to finishing it yet.
Now, does the lead character in the game sound anything like Wombat, though?
No, he does not.
Hell with it. I'm not.
I don't think he even makes. I guess he makes little sounds. He doesn't talk or anything.
Though. Wombat definitely does not make little sounds. Nothing about Wombat sounds are little.
Eva.
No. All right. Whoops. All right. So cool. $5. Can't go wrong.
And it runs on just about anything. That was one of the reasons I picked it up too. I'm running it on a 3 or 4 year old MacBook, and it runs great.
So it'll work on my computer.
Oh yeah, definitely. You should try it out. It's good.
Maybe I will. Maybe right, well, I will, Milhouse. Maybe I will.
Our next topic is a very controversial topic. Something made Shipwreck very, very angry.
Like super angry.
Super duper angry. So Shipwreck, do you want to give the intro? Do you want me to do it? I mean,
I can give the intro.
Okay,
here.
Go ahead.
So what happened, a lot of our listeners might know about it, some may not. And we're going to keep the names of the sites and the, well, maybe not the sites, but the
we're going to keep the details, the specifics hidden.
Kind of vague on the details.
And you'll see why.
Basically, what has happened is there was a game, a fairly large retail game on Xbox 360, and people found a glitch that if you went to certain arcade games from the guide button when you had this game, when you had this retail game running, you could quick launch into the demo versions and get the full versions of the game. And it was two totally different companies, have nothing to do with one another.
It's a weird glitch.
One company is the retail game company. The other company.
Okay, you gave enough information. The people understand. So basically, there was a way that you could get Xbox Live Arcade games for free.
Correct.
Okay, that's all people need to know.
Somebody posted this on CAG in the deals forum, and as soon as I saw it, I think there was maybe like a handful of posts that responded to it, or whatever. And I'm like, oh, I'm sticking this in the dump. This isn't cool. I mean, this is basically stealing from this publisher who has their Xbox Live Arcade games out there. So I stick that in the dump, and then I'm just like looking, and I go to my Google Reader, and then all of a sudden I see their stories up on major gaming sites.
You can say the sites.
Okay, so I saw Joystick. Joystick was the first one that I saw that had gone ahead and run the story that this was out there. They said the games, they didn't say precisely how to do it.
But they linked to the site that tells you how to do it.
They linked to the source, and the source tells you exactly how to do it. And so I was just like, how, like, I just don't get it. Like, this is piracy. Not only are you putting this company that's trying to make money, you're just giving out their games for free for no fault of their own. And then you're also putting your readership in a little bit of harm's way as well. If Microsoft decides to go after the people who exploit this glitch.
That like, seems unlikely, but
it seems unlikely, but
that's a small thing. But I think the other part is much bigger.
Yeah, and so the other Kotaku ran the story as well. They came straight out and told you how to do it.
Right. They don't even want you to visit the other site. They're just like, screw it. Here's all the information. No need to click through to the source site.
Kotaku exclusive.
So I don't know, like, and. I actually talked to a journalistic type about this, and he, because I was like, how can a site,
you were mad,
a well-respected site, run this and like not feel like remorse about it, not feel that it's wrong? And basically, his analogy was that this is a news story, and it's the same type of thing. As if there was a plane flying over the U.S. that was leaking out gold bars, would you report on that? I mean, it's an extreme story. Like this is such a base like example, like what happened like in reality. It's just like it's instant. There's nothing that's like these people have to get in their cars and drive and go get these gold bars or search them out or anything. It's just like you click here, this tells you how to do it, you go do it. And I just have an issue with it. Like if you need a story, like sure it might be news, but hold on to it until they fix the glitch or something. Like do you really have to be first to the story on this?
I talked to somebody who's runs a very big gaming news site, and I showed him the story on Joystick, and I said, are you going to post this? And he says, no. He says he felt it was not newsworthy.
Wow.
I mean, to me, like, it's a few things. I mean, like, you can have an ethical problem with it. I mean, you're basically telling people how to get games for free. You're giving them instructions on how to get games for free. And that's, you're basically telling people how to steal. I mean.
Yeah. And that was another thing real quick, then you can finish your point. But in the Joystick one, it said that they tested it to confirm it. And that to me is like, I don't need to know that you tested it to confirm it, even if you are reporting on it. Like, I assume that you've followed up everything, like confirmed everything on your own. You don't need to tell me that you tested it and pretty much say, hey, we did it. Like, that's just encouraging people to do it.
Let's say you don't have an ethical problem with it. Let's say you say, hey, it's news. And who cares? We're telling people how to steal something for, you know, get something for free that shouldn't be free. You're stealing it. I don't really care about it. If you write for like a video game site, I mean, you really have so little respect for the industry that you cover. And hopefully, like, you know, you like it. If that's your job, you're like a fan of video games and stuff. You have so little respect for it that you're just going to give out people's products for free. That's pretty low. And in another way, it's almost like self-defeating. I mean, your livelihood depends on the video game industry thriving, and you're going to tell people how to get products for nothing. It's really sort of self-destructive in a small way.
It also has a lot to do with the company that makes the arcade games that are affected by the glitch. It's not a company that any of the blogs need to be afraid of.
Yeah, I was gonna comment on that. You know, the company that got their games kind of released is a Japanese company, and they're not doing too well, like financially, and not so popular in the gaming sphere anymore. And so, yeah, it does seem like the blogs in this case were like, oh, we don't have to worry about getting any exclusives.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
If these were Sega games, Capcom games, Activision games, or Electronic Art games, this story may have gone up and may have been up for about 5 minutes before the email came in saying, you will take this down now or we will not let you cover our games ever again.
That's a really, really good point.
Because
I didn't even think of that.
The video game industry is, you know, the journalism portion is ruled by embargoes. It's ruled by dictation.
It's ruled by being invited to things.
Yeah, it's ruled by, you know, this is what you could talk about, and this is when you could talk about it. Shipwreck can go to California and see Medal of Honor, but he can't post about it until a month and a half later when no one cares about what he saw, because by that point it's public knowledge.
After Game Informer does their story.
Exactly. And it's, you know, and that's the way that it works. So you have to kowtow to the publishers in order to, you know, maintain that status quo. So, I don't know. And that's why it was put up there, because they could.
Because they get away with it. And, you know, yeah. I don't like to tell people how to run their site because, I don't know, it's really none of my business. You run your site your way, I run my site my way. I'm saying if it was me, I wouldn't have posted it. In fact, I deleted a thread. Somebody posted it on CAG, and I dumped it on CAG. I don't know. I just have more respect for the companies than that, and I have more respect for the video game industry than that, and I recognize that, you know, we're all here because we like video games, right? I mean, that's one of the things that we're into the most, and we want to see the industry do well. I mean, look, I mean, Kotaku did a post and tell you how to basically pirate DS games. They don't seem to really care, so this to them is like nothing. But maybe for Joystick, I think Shipwreck was surprised to see it.
I was surprised that Joystick ran it, and I mean, I get that they're a news site, and I mean
the news. I mean, think about it. It's like the news is, here's how to steal something. That's the news. That's the news you're posting. There's a way get something for free.
It is a little bit of a story
free.
Just because of the games involved, the retail game involved, in that. That's going to generate hits, and
well,
for a new
I was
site,
gonna
that's
say
important.
if they posted the story differently by saying, even if they posted the name of the retail game and said that using that game, some people have discovered that you can unlock 5 Xbox Live Arcade games, but not mention those, not give out the titles or link to the source really.
Do you think anybody, if you're a fan of Joystick and you happen to not see that story posted, that would, you know, say, oh man, Joystick didn't post this, now I'm not visiting their site anymore?
No.
Or maybe it would go the other way and say, hey, you know, I have a lot more respect for Joystick now that they chose not to tell me how to steal something.
You know. Which Destructoid, you said, did not run the story, right?
Destructoid did not run the story. I actually messaged...
I haven't seen it on there yet.
No, I actually messaged Nick over there to see if that was done on purpose or not. Okay, he wrote me back, actually. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he wants me to read this, but I don't think he'll care, actually. He said, I make the decision.
Too late now.
Too late now. So Nick's the editor at Destructoid. He's like a super nice guy, cool guy.
Always. Awesome guy.
He's just like, I love seeing, I mean, I get to hang out with him at TGS, and I just always look forward to that. I asked him, I said, here's the message I sent him. I said, did you guys make a moral decision not to run the glitch story? We're going to be talking about it on the CatCast. He said, we didn't make an active decision not to run it, but it was an unspoken, we probably shouldn't run this when it came up. Sure, it's news, but it seems a bit irresponsible to spread it around, but it was never even a discussion internally. Look at that. Well, you know what? I mean, maybe Destructoid's more of like a fan site, like... I don't know. They have more respect, I guess, for the industry. Which is, you, who would have known? Who would have thunk it? But hey, good. You know what? Good for them. You guys are speechless.
Oh, I was waiting for someone to say something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I think we talked about it enough. I mean,
yeah, and yeah, I'm sure we'll get. Well, I bet all three of us will get an angry email from someone from somewhere. Okay. So
right.
Mostly about me talking about embargoes again.
All right, Wombat, why don't you take some of these other news stories? You can, pick and choose what you like. Wombat Buffet.
Wonderful. Actually, I put this on here, and I think it's fitting because we have Esteban on the show. This was actually comes from Twitter. It comes from friend of the show, Christina Norman, and she actually put this on Giant Bomb. And I was curious, as a video game producer, how you felt she reached out to her Twitter followers as well as another video game community asking their opinion on, to be specific, she asked about heavy weapons in Mass Effect 2.
She works on Mass Effect 2.
She worked on Mass Effect for BioWare. And she really gave a list of, I would like your feedback on blank. When you played through, how often did you use these type of weapons? How did you feel about these weapons? What was your favorite kind of these weapons? Really cultivating the audience and the communities to get feedback on her game directly as she makes the sequel. Because it's no secret that she's working on Mass Effect 3 right now. And she got 70 comments on Giant Bomb, which is actually pretty impressive. And I was curious, as a video game producer, how you felt about game developers reaching out to the community in the development process to get feedback from the potential buyers.
I think it's a good thing. I think that anytime you can... Because when you're making the game, obviously a lot of people on the team they have to fall in love with it. Otherwise, they're just going to hate the fact that they're working on it. And they don't really see the whole picture. They don't see, from an outside perspective. So there's already a lot of like focus testing going on in the industry anyway, where they, bring normal people in to play the game and, give you a perspective on that you might not see working on the game. So I don't know. I think they're kind of just taking that, what they do internally anyway, with people that would, never say anything, and I don't know, tying it in with their PR campaign or something, and trying to generate interest at the same time. I think it's an interesting approach.
Well, thank you for the answer.
Sorry, was this supposed to be funnier? I don't know.
I put a question on there. I prepared for our guests, so
Oh, I appreciate that.
No problem. It happens occasionally.
As a game creator, you kind of do have to, you can't take everything the fans say, because some people will be like, I want to, smelly vagina gun in the game. We got to have that, obviously.
How would you get the smell across?
You'd do some sort of, sound effect like cheapy, and then maybe have some flies fly out with it.
Stink lines.
Yeah. The screen would blur a little bit, maybe.
I'm all for it. Stinky Very vagina nice. Gun in the game.
There you go.
Yeah.
I was pretty surprised to see the next week is Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light, the co-op game on Xbox Live Arcade. I think it comes out first on Xbox Live Arcade, right?
Yeah, it's part of the Summer of Arcade.
It comes out 2 weeks before, I think.
Okay. But the online play doesn't come out until the end of September.
Yeah, that's weird.
That is like, what the hell happened there? I mean, really? That is just like, how does that happen? Esteban, as a producer, how does that happen?
How does that happen? They probably didn't have enough money and or time. Something happened in their schedule to cause overruns. And so they're, we'll get the game out and hopefully it'll hopefully generate enough interest. And then we'll patch in the online co-op later.
But they have to put it in because they've promised it now. But I guess they need the money now.
Well, I don't know if they need the money now. I don't think they're like, please, $5 so we can put in co-op. No, nothing like that. I just, they probably had a date set for when they were going to put it out and an agreement with the publisher. And
it wasn't done.
Yeah, it's not done. And they're like, we'll get the game out and we'll
patch
it.
Wait, I think the PS3 version comes out on September 28th.
Yeah, I think really? So. And it's going to have co-op, obviously, on launch day.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and I think it...
So this seems like a behind-the-scenes
backroom deal.
It very well could be. You know, Xbox, Microsoft could have come to them and said, hey, we want it as an exclusive for 4 weeks. We want it as part of the Summer of Arcade. And Square Enix could have said, well, we can get it done by then, but it won't have co-op until the 28th, something like that.
Or Sony could have come back and said...
And Sony came back and said, we want exclusive...
Co-op.
we want exclusive co-op on launch day.
Right. Okay, you can give it to Microsoft, the exclusive, but no co-op until it comes out on our system. It's just really weird. Like, it's such a huge part of the game. I don't know. I was surprised to see that. And disappointed, too, because it kind of looks cool.
Well, you and Mrs. Cheapy can play it together, local co-op.
She doesn't like to play. She likes to watch. She doesn't play. She really doesn't play games anymore. She just sits in the corner. Anywho. This I thought was pretty cool. So they released a new multiplayer video of Call of Duty Black Ops, and it shows at the end of the video that you'll be able to edit and record clips inside the game, and I assume post them somewhere. My only concern is that they're going to do it poorly, like Halo. Like Halo, like the
interface. You know, my concern is that no one on this show is ever going to do that.
I'll do it. What do you mean? I like that. See, that stuff appeals to me. I tried to do it in Halo, but it was too shitty.
You won't make one. And if you do, you'll make one. No, I take
it
back.
If it's shitty, I won't do it.
You'll make one.
But if it works well.
You'll make one.
You're not so skilled that you want to show off your skills to the world, right?
I mean, but once in a while, I could pull off something good. Like, I'm not going to put off, you know, I'll maybe get like one good kill for every 30 times I die.
And you want to edit that down.
Yeah, that's why I need good editing. A good editing function. No, I like that idea. It could be fun.
I never said it was a bad idea. I just said you're not going to, it doesn't impact you.
It does. Yeah, if they implement it well, I will use it. If they implement it like Halo has, I will not use it.
I found out that Black Ops has actually got some stuff that we thought was gone from the Call of Duty franchise, which is dedicated servers they're going to have. And they're putting the lean back into the game. Like, I don't know, if you never played the PC version, you could use Q and E to lean your character out from cover. And Infinity Ward took that out of Modern Warfare on the
PC.
On the PC.
And going to say, the lean's not coming to consoles, right?
No. They won't. Consoles
are... No,
consoles aren't ready for lean.
No, we don't want lean.
They're gonna a month later, lean is exclusive. And then a month later they're gonna patch it in.
Right. For 180 Microsoft points, you can lean to the left, and if you want to lean to the right, it's another 180 Microsoft points.
I actually want Treyarch to kind of knock it out of the park with Black Ops, because they've always kind of been like the bitch to Infinity Ward, you know, like Activision's kind of like, oh, there's another Call of Duty coming out, but it's a Treyarch game. You know, everyone's kind of like, oh, okay, I guess that's cool. So I kind of want them to make a bigger, badder game than Modern Warfare 2 and, you know, just show that they're a good dev house.
Apparently they're spending more money on marketing this game than Modern Warfare 2.
No way.
That's what I heard. Is that true?
I don't know. I don't know the guys over there.
I heard there's smell lines in the game. Stink lines.
Yeah, well, that would make it that's 98 on Metacritic automatically.
No, that's the pre-order bonus.
Vaginal stink lines.
Yeah, it's pre-order for
GameStop. You think iTunes will let me put the title of the show as "Vaginal Stink Lines"? You
think they'll? I think so.
Now you can't put vagina in your show title.
What about vag? V a v a g.
Vag is fine.
Vag, you know, stink lines.
I have bought an iPad and I spend most of my time on the iPad just looking through the App Store
for vaginas.
No. Just at new releases and stuff. And there was one. It was the letter C, and it was like 7 asterisks, and then 101. And I was like, who would name their app C asterisk 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 101? And then I looked down onto the actual like screenshots of the app. You know where I'm going with this?
Is it Cunnilingus?
It's Cunnilingus.
That's what I was going to say.
It's Cunnilingus 101. And it's like a picture of like a really crude drawing of a vagina, and it's like showing you where to lick. And in the screenshot, it says vagina because they can't asterisk out.
How's it run on your iPad?
I didn't buy it.
I have a confession to make. I'm the producer on that game. It's a private project I've been working on.
Yeah, I was pretty, I thought it was funny.
You heard it here first on CAG.
Are you making a lot of money?
Yeah, a lot of guys from Japan are buying it, actually.
Yeah. I bought 4 copies just in case. No. I mean, I didn't buy it. It looks pretty budget, I gotta say. I mean, it's like drawings, like really bad. It's like someone drew an oval, and that's a vagina.
You mean that's not what a vagina is?
Well, it might be.
Wait,
I've never seen one.
Shit, I better buy the app. I don't.
Maybe
I'm lost.
Maybe in Japan where the girls are nicer.
In Japan, you wouldn't even see it. There's so much hair. You never actually get.
I can confirm that. Yeah, there's.
Yeah, what's up with that, Esteban?
Well, as a producer, let me tell you. No, yeah, I don't know. A lot of Japanese girls, it's not the fashion here to trim that enormous bush.
What? I always wondered why it was like that in the States, and I'm pretty sure it's because there's so much access to pornography on the internet now, and all the porn stars are totally shaven, that the girls see the porn, young girls see the porno, and then they think, hey, this is what sex is like. I need to have a shaved, I need to have no bush.
I think they read the Cosmo.
Yeah.
Cosmo says
Cosmo,
they do it?
Cosmo, yeah. It's
yeah,
a Cosmo.
It's thing. In Cosmo, like Brazilian.
How do you
know? How do I know? Because, you know, you walk by any news rack and it's on the cover of Cosmo. It's like, shave your huge bush now.
10 tips on how to shave your bush
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Like, you know, he hates your bush. How to get rid of it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a book called Black Passenger Yellow Cab, and it's about this black guy who lived in Japan and he would just bang a lot of Japanese chicks.
Chibi always brings this up. Every time I run into him, I think, every 5 times or so that I run into Chibi, brings up this book. I think he wants to live
there. I've never read it, actually, but I heard about it on Stern, and the guy's mentioned, he's like, it's all hairy bush. There's a lot of bush out there. Anyway. A lot of vagina talk on this show today.
Call of Duty coming out soon.
Right. anything else we need to talk about from this section, Wombat? This is really your section.
Double Fine is making new games, and they're going to be downloadable, and one of them is coming out this year.
Costume Party?
Costume Party or something. Yeah,
Costume Quest.
Costume Quest, and it's an action RPG, and it looks cute and halfway decent. And, you know, that's, I guess, here's hoping Double Fine can make something that's actually successful. Yeah, maybe it'll happen.
Just remember who called the failure of Brutal Legend long before it came out.
All of us?
No. You didn't say anything.
I doubt I didn't.
Anything else?
We can move on. We don't have anything for Sony.
Well, this was funny because Wombat last week went on a rant about how he hates the whole PlayStation 3 update system and patching and all that shit. And like a few days later, Ben from Ars Technica had a whole article up about it. I'm sure it's a coincidence. I don't think he listens to the show, but what did you think of that, Wombat? Did you check out the article?
Well, I had to update to play Scott Pilgrim, and I did read his article, and it was good.
Right.
And it was like, yeah, that's right. What I said 3 days ago.
Right.
So.
First.
Yeah, exactly. First, Katara, suck it.
Right. All right. Well, do we have... So we really talked about all the Microsoft stuff already, too, right?
Yeah, the only thing that's left is for me to talk about Dragon Quest IX.
Is this you?
This is me.
For real?
It's all I've been playing.
On the DS?
On the DS. I've been playing this game on the train ride, sometimes at home, but I've been playing this game for about 3 hours a day since I picked it up last Friday.
So you're loving it.
I am loving it. I love this game. If you have a DS and you want something to play on it, get Dragon Quest IX because you'll be happy.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I've heard that it's very old school.
It is. It's very old school. It's, you know, it's very much, you know, you see, it doesn't have random battles, which is kind of cool, but you'll actually see the monsters walking around on the map. So if you want to fight them, you walk into them and you select action, attack, action, spell, and then you select your spell, action, whatever, and you do that and you're in a party of four after about 2 hours into the game. And then, you know, you do the thing and it's all that turn-based fighting and combat and, you know, you'll get some experience and some coins and some loot if you're lucky. And that's it. And you move on to the next fight and you go to different towns and you talk to all the townspeople and they say silly things and, you know, people are really warm and inviting and letting you into their homes. And of course, the first thing you do is you break all their pots and steal everything out of their cupboards. And yeah, I mean, you go to an inn to replenish your health and magic and you go to the church to save your game, and it's very old school, but it looks fantastic for a DS game. For a game, it looks fantastic. The amount of customization on your character is pretty impressive, and you can see it all, you know, the different shoes and gloves and coats and
That's
pants.
Your favorite.
It is. Like, my guy looks pretty cool right now. Actually, I have my team of four looks pretty cool right now. So, and I'm really enjoying it. I enjoy the leveling system. I enjoy this, you know, the storyline is definitely, it is a little unique. It's not standard, you know, Lost Boy kind of thing, as Shipwreck mentioned last week. And it's a lot of fun. There's a lot going on. It's a long game. It's involved. It's not, you know, it's a fully fleshed out JRPG on the DS. It also, because I'm not a huge JRPG fan, and I've read this in a couple of reviews that I read, of course, after I bought the game, is that it's a very good entry-level JRPG.
Hmm.
Where if you're not a huge JRPG fan or if you're not too familiar with them, this is a good game to play because it's not incredibly difficult. At least I haven't found it incredibly difficult yet. I only hit one part where, you know, and I'm not that far into it, to be perfectly honest, where I died and was like, this doesn't seem right. And I'm like, you know what? And I actually spoke to Shipwreck, who was quite helpful. He's like, maybe you should grind up a little more. Because having a party where my three other characters were still level one weren't really all that helpful. So just, you know, leveling up a little bit, the occasional grinding, which if you fight enough enemies on your way, you don't have to grind that much, but I was kind of avoiding stuff just to get to the towns.
There's two areas in the game that I've played. I think I'm at level 23 characters, and I've come across two parts in the game where I'd had to stop what I was doing and grind a little bit, but that's not so bad.
No, that's not so bad at all. I mean, my guy is a level 10 or 11 now. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really enjoying it. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome, dude.
Yeah, it's a really good commuting game also, because you can quick save.
Did you set up your other team members? Do you still control them, or did you set them up to do their own thing?
I still control them in fights and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm.
See, I set mine up to, I've got one person that their sole responsibility is to heal everybody, so anytime anybody gets low, they heal them automatically, and then I have one girl set to use magic attacks, and then I have another person just set to do whatever she wants.
You made your own characters, or did you use the ones that the default ones?
No, I made my own.
Oh, see, I use default guys. Not that I'm complaining. They're actually, I'm somewhat attached to my three default my three default teammates, who actually are very well balanced. I'm kind of glad I have the one warrior who deals out a lot of damage, and I have the healer, and I have the mage chick. So, I mean, it's probably what I would have made, so I can't complain.
Cool. So it sounds like you highly recommend it.
I do.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I have a question. Now, for someone, I used to love JRPGs back in the day. I kind of got burned out on the sameness of all of them. For someone like that, would you still recommend it?
I think I would, especially if you haven't played one in a while and you like that style of game. But again, if you've been burned out by the sameness, I think there's enough different there. In the art style, in the customization, in the sheer amount of items. And also, I think just for the flexibility and ease of play, in the sense that, you know, every now and again, it's nice to have a game that you could play on the train or the couch or the bed or wherever you are.
Okay.
And in that sense,
JRPGs work much better for me in portable form. Like, I really can't stand to sit down in front of my TV and play the turn-based battles anymore, but if it's on the go, I love it.
You know what else works really well in portable form? Cunnilingus 101. By the way, I have an important correction. It's C******S. They let the S slide.
Yeah, they let that one through.
Yeah.
I hope people don't confuse it with my
Dragon Quest.
With my thesaurus application that I'm making. It's called Cunning Linguist 101.
I see. Yeah. Does yours have is the screenshot on the App Store of the external lip runner?
Well, yeah, it shows you how to do mouth exercises for saying difficult words.
That's step one. External lip runner. Yep. So, yeah, check that out.
I like how the screenshot goes. No, it's on page 28, though. So you got to read 27 pages of, like, some sort of preface.
To get to the external lip runner?
Yeah, before you even start with your mouth on the vagina.
Yeah. It's pretty exciting.
That pretty much sounds like a date anyway. There are 27 pages of...
before you get to the vagina.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, I think we're ready for some CAG bag. Show us your tweets, etc. A lot of questions here. Some for Esteban, some for us. So let's get right to it. One-Eyed Willie says, with a limited edition Halo Reach console having a unique startup sound, I was wondering if this could be the start of 360 ringtones. Microsoft could charge around $5 to change the system sounds. What would your Xbox startup sound be? First of all, don't give them this idea. It's actually a good idea. People would do it.
I had this idea on, I think, one of the early episodes of CAG Foreplay.
Oh, okay.
I talked about this. Hmm. Yeah, I think they didn't do it because it's more of a branding type thing. Everybody knows the default 360 sounds.
I was able to get a custom ringtone on my 360. I have mine sound like a vacuum cleaner when it turns on.
Wah, yeah, wah, really. Wah, yeah. Wah.
It goes... Right. Actually, no, it's not that bad. After they fixed it, I sent it in and they fixed it. It sounds pretty good. And I have the new one. I just haven't tried it yet.
No, I think they should tie them into the themes. I mean, I really don't see why not.
Yeah. They have a super premium theme that's like $5.
With sounds. Maybe like a cool Pac-Man one would be cool.
Yeah, I can see them doing that.
Yeah, it's free money, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like I said, I think the only reason they wouldn't do it is because they have those default sounds as kind of iconic at this point.
Yeah, but who cares? They can get money. You can either have iconic or you can get Pizzade. they're going to go for getting Pizzade. You know what I'm saying? I'm practicing for my role on Saints Row with my...
I was just going to comment on that.
You're doing a good job.
Very good job.
I could do like... I'm pretty flexible. Like if they want me to do like a street guy, I could do that.
Yeah, you're so street anyway.
No, you can't.
They can't hear you. Yo, man, don't be touching my big ass chains.
Yeah, no, you can't.
That was good. I could be like a wigger.
Now we're getting into controversial territory.
Wigger is not controversial. Yo, man, don't hit me. What you doing? I'll kick your ass.
Man, they should just let you do it for free. Hell
yeah, they should hire. They should pay me. Anyway, here's some more questions. Nick Pedro via Twitter. Wants us to talk about those overpacked, crazy-ass Japanese trains that conductors shove people into. Ever see that shit in person? See, he's from the streets. He knows how it is.
Yeah, Nick Pedro from the streets.
I've seen him on YouTube. I thought that they stopped doing that.
No, man. I see it every day.
They push the people in?
Yeah, yeah. They to get as many people as they can. And the people inside don't want to let the people getting on in.
They push back.
So they push back. And they have guys in white gloves who go up and start shoving people to, you know, pack the maximum amount of people you can in the train.
What train line are you on?
I'm on the Saikyo line.
Okay, which, never heard of that. So.
Okay, well, you know, I live in the sort of like a poorer section. I'm from the streets, y'all. I live in the northern part of Tokyo, and so a lot of people come in from...
right, there's not a lot of... there's too many people, not enough room on the train.
Yeah, and yeah, I see it every day. Okay. It's crazy shit, yo.
Do you get people pushed into you?
I take the train that departs from the station. I make a plan to go in work.
So you're first on there.
Exactly.
Sweet. All right. Oops, I just lost all the questions. Hold on, sorry. Let's see. Here's a question from EvilBat67. Most of my friends with an Xbox have at least two... Wait, what? What the hell is...
I think they have at least two
Xboxes. Oh, excuse me.
At least two Xboxes.
There's no punctuation here. Most of my friends with an Xbox have at least two. All of my friends with a PS3 have one. Don't you think this affects install base? That would affect
it. I think it does.
The problem is, so what you're saying
Thank
is...
Thank you, EvilBat67.
The problem is, with your theory, is that the 360 versions of the games almost always sell more than the PS3 versions. So unless your friends with two Xboxes are buying two copies of the game...
That would also affect how many copies of the game are.
Yes, it would. So I'm sure it affects the install base. I don't know if it affects it that much.
Why would you own two Xboxes?
I have
two. I own three.
You do? What is it? One for the living room, one for the bedroom?
One for the living room, one for the bedroom, one for the office.
Okay, that makes sense. I used to have two. I had a Japanese one and an Xbox, Japanese and an American one.
Yeah, I'm gonna have four here soon. Cause I'm gonna buy one when I go over to Japan.
Wow.
I have a Japanese one, an American one, and a new one of those new Japanese ones that they gave me for free.
Damn.
The way I got three to begin with, though, was because I had one and it broke, and I needed to buy another one to review stuff while the other one got sent in. And then at one point, two of them broke at the same time, and so I had to buy a third one so I could I could review stuff.
Doesn't this affect the install base?
It affects the install base.
Okay, what else we got? Chromed Bird asks, how important are original IP? The only original IP of recent months was Singularity, and it didn't have an original idea in it. Esteban?
How important are original IP? That's a tough question, you know, because not a lot of people are buying original IP anymore, which is sad because the industry is kind of stagnating under clones of other popular games. And then people start complaining that there's no original IP. But then when it comes out, they don't buy it. So
I don't know. Cycle.
I don't have any.
I'm going to call bullshit.
Uh-oh. Here
on
we
the
go.
Game producer. I'm going to say that people are not. It's not that people aren't buying IPs. What's the best IP to come out in the last, I don't know, 2 years?
Saints Row.
The best new IP?
The best new IP. What is the best new IP?
Oh, that's, I don't know, that's a tough one. It all depends on your, what, Mass Effect maybe? Or
okay, did that game sell poorly?
No, it sold well.
And the second one?
It also
Alan sold. Wake.
Should they have,
oh yeah, what, Alan Wake, yeah, that's a totally new IP.
That is a new IP. And but I don't think that game,
that,
I don't
hold up with whatever theory you're trying Mass to Effect, do. Here,
thank you, Shipwreck.
I think if a game is quality, it's going to sell. And I think a lot of these sequels that have been coming out.
That has nothing to do with it. Usually.
I think that a lot of the sequels that have been coming out that have been selling a boatload of copies, that and the reason why they keep making these is because they're good games. I think the Call of Duty franchise and the Madden franchise, you know, those aren't bad games. So they're going to making them because they, you know, so why spend the money on a new IP when you can make something that's going to be good? You know, what should they make? Should they make another first person, you know, war themed shooter that's not called Call of Duty, or should they stick Call of Duty on the box and guarantee that it'll get the sales?
Well, I would say that they should make something completely different than that. They shouldn't make another war themed shooter in modern times. Try something completely different.
Fourth person shooter.
Second person. Someone tells you what you're doing. No, I mean, you know, with Mass Effect, it's kind of an unusual case because, I mean, that's coming from BioWare. So people already kind of have the brand awareness there anyway. I mean, it's tough. Everyone says, yeah, if you make good games, they'll sell. But unfortunately, it's not always the case.
And I could, I definitely understand why Alan Wake didn't sell that well. But that's just me.
There hasn't been a single IP this year, I don't think, original IP that sold all that well, has there?
Well, I mean, it really depends on what you think of Red Dead Redemption.
That's not, well, it's a sequel.
It's a sequel, too.
I'm pretty sure that's a sequel.
It is a sequel, but the first game didn't do that well. I don't think I don't think Red Dead Revolver is a well-known property.
But you know what, Wombat, you might be onto something. I think bigger companies that have a lot of media clout already, they should be experimenting more with new IP because they have that opportunity to push it into the marketplace. Like, I mean, look at Ubisoft with Assassin's Creed. That's completely new IP, and because of their market positioning, they were able to get it out there and make it so huge.
And now there's Assassin's Creed 2 and the other Assassin's Creed, whatever they're calling that.
Now you're getting Assassin's Creed to shove up your ass.
But Assassin's Creed 2 was significantly better than Assassin's Creed 1.
This is true.
So I have no problem with the stagnation of new IPs if the sequels increase in quality.
Okay.
If Mass Effect 2 is significantly better than Mass Effect 1, Assassin's Creed 2 is significantly better than Assassin's Creed 1. You know, it looks like Dragon Age 2 may also follow that. Who knows? Maybe we'll get lucky. Maybe, you know, it seems to be the case more recently than in the past where the sequel to the game is better. And if that's what it takes, then, you know, Red Dead Revolver is better. Red Dead Redemption is significantly better than Red Dead Revolver.
True.
So I don't see what the problem is of not making an original IP as long as what you're making is good.
Right, just make it good. I think that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Who cares if it's new?
Who cares if it's a new? Why? Why do you need a new IP? Right. Uncharted 2 is better than Uncharted 1.
You try to get the new IP, that way you can sell the sequels. Well, I mean, that's the whole purpose.
Well, that you
want to get an
make those good sequels that
IP.
Make enough money where you can make those new IPs. So yes, maybe Alan Wake 2 will be the. So you know, I guess it's all cyclical.
All right, yeah. Let's move on. Here's a question from... No, I mean, we got it. That's good. Wombat brings up good... Wombat bringing up good points during this episode.
Well, there you go. It never happened.
I really like the one with, you know, with that during our ethics discussion. I never even thought of that angle about that company not being too powerful. Lickchan has a question via Twitter. This question is to me and to Esteban. What's the worst thing about living in Japan as a foreigner?
Well, for me, it's Shippy and I could take this.
Can you? All right, go ahead. I want you guys to handle it. Go for it.
I'm gonna go with it's very lonely because you don't really speak the language as well as those around you, and people
Esteban
treat
does.
You as a foreigner. So I think
Harry Bush is the answer.
I think it's the xenophobia that you encounter can bring you down. And you know, when you combine that with the general loneliness and the longing for things that you're used to from back home, you add that together, and you know, that's probably the hardest thing about living in Japan.
I think you've been listening to Cheapy too much. That's Cheapy's experience in Japan, maybe.
Maybe.
I was just going to say there's not enough fast food chili joints in Japan.
Oh, there are. Wendy's is gone now, and so there's nowhere to get chili on the move anymore.
Or chili anywhere. I don't think I've ever seen chili.
Yeah, I've got to make it at home if I want some good chili. It's sad.
So what's your answer to the question?
My answer?
Yes.
The worst thing about living in Japan as a foreigner? Oh.
No weed?
Not enough hours for all the ladies?
No, I wish that was the biggest problem. I don't know. That's a tough one. The little things would be the little things that you miss. You know, people in Japan, it's not necessarily as a foreigner, but they're not as talkative as Americans are. You know, you can't be standing in a line with someone and just start talking to them and just start a conversation and make a new friend. It's very unusual for Japanese people to do that. And I like to do that. I'm a very gregarious person. So I'll be standing in line somewhere and I'll see someone has like, you know, the same, cell phone strap or something that I do. I'm like, oh, hey, that's cool. You know, you like Star Wars too or something like that. And they'll look at me initially like, who the fuck is this guy? And then we start talking and, you know. But yeah, it's very hard to normally to start a conversation.
I'll answer this question differently very quickly. One is that Japanese people smoke too many cigarettes. It's, it's really disgusting. If you go to a restaurant, they chain smoke through dinner. Like in America, people smoke during dinner, but they wait till they're done eating. Japanese people just
can't even smoke dinner.
Yeah,
dinner around here.
Now you can. Most places you can't even do that. But in Japan, they just smoke like 15 cigarettes during dinner. It's disgusting. Number two are the sound trucks. They political organizations, like right wing organizations, have these trucks with huge speakers on the roofs, and they blast.
Just Cause 2 trucks.
Yeah, actually, I made a video of it, and I'm going to be posting it soon. Because there was a big demonstration day here where the Japanese right-wing people protest Russia having their islands that they got from them after World War II. And it's you'll be amazed. There's like a full-size bus with speakers on the roof. It's insane. Let's see here. Blah, blah, blah. What do we got here? Anything that looks good, guys? Here's a question for Esteban from CW Davidson. If No More Heroes on PS3 does well enough to justify a jump to HD consoles, do you see Grasshopper Manufacturer continuing to focus on Wii?
Pressure's on. I don't know. You'll have to talk to the guys that own the IP. Grasshopper, we make the game and, you know, we plan it all out and, you know, we put it out there. But
who owns it?
Marvelous owns the IP.
Oh.
Marvelous Entertainment. I think it's Marvelous Entertainment. Is that their proper name? But yeah, we don't own it, so we don't get to say if there's been another one. Sorry. Hmm. Did you guys ever play that game? Did any of you guys play No More Heroes?
No.
I played some of the first one. I'm waiting to play the HD version of the second one.
Okay.
Should I wait for that? Should I get that? Should I just get the Japanese version of that when I come over?
No, I think you should wait for a while.
See what happens.
And see what happens. Something, some things may be happening.
Something might happen.
Gonna release Killer 7 for the live arcade and PSN.
we don't own that either. So you have to ask Capcom about that.
Oh yeah, that is Capcom, isn't it?
Yes.
Let's see. Rob Anderson via Facebook says, I've been a big fan of those guys from Killer 7 and No More Heroes. Also heard they were working on a new Fatal Frame, one of my favorite horror franchises.
That's true. Fatal Frame 4 we worked on for Nintendo, but it's only been released in Japan. Nintendo has decided not to release it overseas. So if you want that out, email, write, and mail your feces to Nintendo and get them there.
Feces?
Yeah, do
that'll
it.
Work?
I think that'll get the message across. Smell lines. That's what you need.
Some more questions. Since Grasshopper defines himself as a multimedia house, does that leave open the possibility for iPhone mobile app development? I'd love to see a Fatal Frame game using augmented reality and the portable camera.
Wow, Rob Anderson. Visit our Facebook page, man. I think you'd love it. Yeah, I mean, we're down with anything. I'm certainly excited to try different things. I don't know what the company's opinion on it is and what direction they want to go in, but if we get a chance, sure. I don't see why not.
All right. He also says that you guys have done a good job with the Wiimote. Any thoughts on Kinect and Sony Motion? Sony Move.
Sony Motion?
I don't know.
Locomotion. Any thoughts?
Personal thoughts?
Can't wait to try Dance Dance Central. Is that what it's called? Dance Central?
Dance Central, yes.
Yeah, that looks fun to me. And the yoga game looks kind of good too. But on the other hand, if I'm going to pay that much
for... Wait, do you do yoga now?
I do Wii Fit yoga.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Which isn't very good because it doesn't really give you any feedback. It just kind of, you know, you don't fall off the balance board. If any of you have tried it, you just try not to fall off the Wii balance board. But it doesn't tell you whether you're in the right position or not. You could seriously screw your back up or something, you know.
Awesome.
So yeah, it's something that gives you feedback. But again, I don't know if I want to pay like that much money for something when I could just go join a yoga class for the equivalent.
Right, and get it done right. Let's see. Oh, Dustin Thomas wants to know if Wombat's sticking to his diet.
Not really.
Well, I don't know. Anything else we need to do?
Hang in there, Wombat. I'm on a diet too.
You are?
I am.
You just ate this bagel, cheese bagel, and donuts.
Well, you know, it's not always perfect. You can't live your life, you know, that sure. strict. I'm definitely significantly better than I was a year ago, but I do have days where, you know, there are days when I'm exhausted and I'm at work, and it's a lot easier for me to go to the $5 burger place than it is for me to find a, you know, a $10 grilled chicken sandwich.
Sure.
So
I say 70%. If you eat well 70% of the time and exercise, you'll be all right.
Yeah.
All
right. Yeah. I should exercise more, though.
All right. Well, let's wrap things up here. First, I want to remind everybody to follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/GBD, twitter.com/Wombat5277, twitter.com/Shipwreck. And you can follow Esteban, twitter.com/LoneEsteban. That's LoneEsteban.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so that's good. Also, Esteban does his own pod. He does two podcasts, actually. He does the official Grasshopper Manufacturer podcast. What's the website there?
It's grasshopper.co.jp.
Okay, so you can see...
I'm on it right now.
That's in English. And I was on there a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, Cheapy came on. You guys, Shipwreck, when you're in town, you should come on.
Okay, I can try to do that. We're not in town for very long, but we'll try to get something done.
Sweet.
And yeah, Jon Snow was on there, Mark McDonald and John Riccardi and the 8-4 crew were on there. And your
Call of Podcast.
Yes, Call of Podcast, of course, is available on iTunes. That's his other podcast with his friend Nick.
Dale.
Nick and Dale.
Right. Can I pimp that for a
yeah,
second?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I also do another private podcast where I get to say a little bit more about my real feelings about stuff. It's called Call of Podcast. You can find it on iTunes, significantly lower on the ranks than the CatCast, unfortunately.
Don't you do a segment on there where you talk about different times you've been rejected?
Yeah, we do what we call the blow off corner, and it's it's me getting shot down by Japanese girls. It's one of our most popular features. But you can find that at Call of Podcast. www.squarespace.com.
Nice.
And but it's been a treat to be on. Thank you guys. I really appreciate it.
Have your dreams come true now?
My wet dreams have come true.
Just wait till after the show.
Is there gonna be a little C asterisk?
Yeah, external lip runner. Here we go.
Yeah, and a prostate exam.
Woo! Nice.
Also, I want to remind everybody to please review us on iTunes. When you're there, subscribe to Call Up Podcast and review us on iTunes. And of course, please visit GoDaddy.com, register your domain names, register your get your web hosting. Coupon code CAG10 gets you 10% off any order. CAG5 off 30 gets you $5 off a $30 order. And CAG domain gets you $7.49 domain registrations.
Yo!
And I think that's it. Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in.
Bread's done.
This is it. We're going in after Zaxxon.
The most powerful force in space. It's going to try to blow us away.
Close? Gotta stay low.
Zaxxon, the three-dimensional arcade sensation, is now a home video sensation.
Now to invade those enemy fighters and go face-to-face with Zaxxon itself. No one has ever gotten this far before. Attack!
Play Zaxxon on your ColecoVision, Atari VCS, or in television video game system. Zaxxon, it'll blow you away.
Arthur?